And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. It's the Basketball Buds edition here on Monday. I'm Zach Harper. That's Trevon Edwards, Wozni Lambre, Dave DeFore. We got Jade Hoy pushing those buttons. Reminder, subscribe to the Athletic. You get all the great coverage from the Athletic about all these sports, right? Not just basketball. You get baseball, football, hockey, all that good stuff. You get UK soccer, right? I believe they call that the old EPL. Is that right, guys? That's right. Not much of a soccerman, but I think that's correct. All right, we're just going to leave me out there to dry. All right,
English Premier League.
Yeah, EPL, yeah.
We've got everybody, everybody who's anybody that covers.
Oh, man, Waz, there was one season where I did follow Barcelona. All right, let me tell you. Messi was incredible. All right, also, make sure you check out the restricted area on the Athletic's YouTube channel, myself and Wozni Lambre. And, you know, make sure you're subscribing and unsubscribing and resubscribing and leaving 5-star reviews and all that kind of stuff on all these podcast platforms. Guys, today I think we can start off with a pretty safe bet that James Harden is the biggest non-COVID story in the NBA. He made his Nets debut. He had a 30-point triple-double. He was really good. Kevin Durant was really good. They beat the mighty Orlando Magic, okay? The mighty Orlando Magic, who, you know, kind of tail-spinning right now. But that's besides the point. Trey, when you get, you know, we don't have Kyrie Irving back yet, but you get James Harden in a debut, I think it went about as well as you could hope it would go.
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, James moving his weight was great.
All right, let's discuss. Let's jump into that. Yeah, all right. He's been wearing
Black is
Teflon.
Slimming.
Like, what's going on?
Nah, I think it was. I think honestly, it was just a perception of how it was taken. James is pretty good. His weight kind of fluctuates, kind of oddly. You know what I'm saying? Because he's always been taken as quote unquote a fat guy. People fat shame him all the time, and you see him in person, and he's like, not technically jacked, but he's solid.
Well, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, James Harden is actually sneaky jacked.
Yeah, he's sneaky jacked. He's bigger than you think, in that situation. So from that particular picture that floated around, obviously the jokes ran. And when he suited up, it just looked crazy. But I mean, I would capitalize with dropping the weight loss book and just try to run with everything.
Yeah, you got to do something. I mean, his weight fluctuates like a helium balloon like that. I mean, come on, look at that thing.
He could be doing some Weight Watchers commercials tomorrow, right?
Jenny Craig's still around? We could do that. We can bring that back.
Shouts to Jenny Craig, man. That's such a throwback. But the climate here in New York, man, obviously New York Knicks fans are New York Knicks fans. They didn't care. Jesus could have played point guard and they still would have hated on that move. It was good, though. It was a different type of vibe. The beat writers were happy. Steve Nash had a pep in his step. KD was a funny dude, honestly, you know, with his snarky comments was like, oh, I'm just gonna wait till the trade is official. And then when it finally got official, it was like riding a bike. Now, I don't know how much of this romance is going to continue. Obviously, I think that they can actually share the rock. But when you bring, you know, Kyrie Irving or AKA Kai Irving into the picture, I think you throw a wrench into this bicycle.
Yeah. Waz, with that that we got, I definitely want to go to you next. But Trey, real quick, before we go to Waz on that, the James Harden press conference was also phenomenal.
And
look, I don't want to go back too much on the whole like Kyrie Irving not talking to the media, but James Harden gave a textbook veteran run through of how to handle all these situations, because he really didn't answer any question other than like, are you in shape or what kind of shape are you? He just laughed. It was like, great. And that was it, right? That's the only question he actually directly answered. And everything else was either him just taking it however he wanted to, saying buzzwords. Like at one point, he just said sacrifice in what, like, what's the type of, you know, what message are you bringing to Nets fans? He's like, you know, do what we want. I win.
It was kind of crazy, right? Zach, because for one, Nets commentators have not paid much attention to him. So they didn't even know how to make up for the, like, you know, file hunting.
Right. Yeah.
And then as far as like the media, you know what I mean? Sitting on a call, obviously it went from one page of Zoom to 11 pages now. Cause this is like the hottest ticket right now. But like, obviously he has everybody in the palm of his hand saying the right thing. And, you know, you debut with 30 points and triple double like you can kind of say whatever you want. And I thought it was really cute how Kevin was saying like, oh, we have 15 turnovers. I need to go back and talk to James about this. Like, and it was like out of everything. And then, you know, obviously he bigged up the whole team saying, you know, like these guys are good basketball players. And I'm just like, this roster isn't like as great. I mean, you take away KD and it's not as great as the Rockets. You know what I'm saying? Like there's guys that contribute. You got Landry Shamet and Bruce Brown. And, you know, it's kind of
Deadeye shooter Landry Shamet.
There you go.
Yeah, but
shouts to him too, man, for giving up his jersey too.
Trey, so. that you take away KD thing, that's a big deal though, because they have KD. And as good as Harden looked, I thought it looked like KD was barely breaking a sweat.
He had an easy 42.
Oh, yeah. He was looking 42. Like Aaron Rodgers, dog. His jersey was so clean.
I mean, he was just hanging out. And, you know, that's, I think, the thing that we hit on when we were talking about this right after the trade happened was, you know what? Now teams have to guard more than just Kevin Durant, right? And then when Kyrie gets there, that's a third guy they got to figure out. Like, the offensive side is going to work. But they gave up 34 to Vooch. And this is a trend, right? Like, centers are just destroying them. What are they going to do against Joel Embiid?
Yo, Dave, give up 50? They played Reggie Perry in the fourth quarter, and Vooch is just going out of it. Exactly. And the whole time, I'm just laughing. I'm like, yo, there's no way they're playing DeAndre down the stretch of a big game. At one point, they went to Jeff Green at the five. Like,
yeah. Well, so, you know, I think ultimately that's what they're going to be going with for a while is Jeff Green and KD as their two nominal bigs. But and that's going to be passable, I think. But against Embiid, it doesn't work because you don't want to put Kevin Durant in the position to have to bang with Embiid at all. And so you're going to need DeAndre Jordan to either be better or you're going to have to find somebody who can do it. There's just nobody out there.
Yeah, but you get Claxton back. You like the buyout market might have
JaVale McGee. Sure.
Right, might have JaVale.
JaVale McGee and call it a day.
Call it a day.
They're giving up 50 points right now in the paint, bro. It's brutal. Obviously, it's who can outscore who. You know what I mean? And like, obviously, it was fun to watch Durant look like Durant.
Oh, that game was fun. It was so fun.
It was great.
But you're in a dogfight with the Orlando Magic. You know what I mean? Like, that was the thing. It was just kind of like, okay, these two have 71 points of the 100 points. Okay, these two have 73, and it's climbing, but, like, it's 109-105. And you're like, what? Nah, man. And, you know, like, I'm not here to beat on DeAndre Jordan because, you know, he's been an all-star in this league. And he's just, you know, and obviously – I had my bone to pick with him because I felt like Jared Allen should have been the starter throughout the year before being moved. And then now, like Waz said, who is Reggie Perry? He's solid, but he's not – shouldn't be in this rotation, I will say. He's going to work hard. He's going to play hard, and he's going to earn his respect. And from time in time, he's going to have crazy games like Bruce Brown. Like Bruce Brown had 15 boards one game. You're like, what? But those are just guys that play hard. Like, you know, Zach loves Chris Chioza.
Another guy that
shouldn't be in the. I just don't feel like our rotation guys for this type of quote unquote championship or bust caliber team. I think, you know, Sean Marks made an important thing saying that he's going to give this roster a few games before he starts to look and see what he can, you know, kind of get the needs because they're not done yet. So I can see them bringing in a center. And then also I can see them bringing in another, like a defender or something like that. But I'm interested to see how Kyrie fits into this mix and will Kyrie be available
to be moved. That's the second way. That's the second from Waz. Waz, please.
Well, so you know, whenever these big trades happen, I always think about Amin saying back when he was on the front office side that whenever something like this would work, you know, just instinctually front office guys jealously would be like, that shit ain't gonna work. Right? And so, you know, I talked to a couple of guys on the team side of, you know, a couple of Western Conference teams. And the response, it was funny how uniform both people spoke. They were like, it's going to be fun. You know, nobody wanted to say it was going to be trash or say, man, they're going to be really good. Everybody's kind of like, you know, we're going to wait and see. Like when Trey says, we'll see what happens when Kyrie gets back and how they work it. Like, that's the key, you know, like how committed are they going to be to make, to doing the team thing, to, you know, sort of sacrificing the way that these guys have come accustomed to playing, you know, it's only time will tell. And then, of course, you know, the Kyrie question is important because it's not just the off-court, I mean, the on-court stuff. Like, he's clearly got this off-court volatility to him. So, you know, I think they're just going to continue to be the most fascinating story in the league, both on and off the court going forward this season.
You know, as far as how it works, I think that what we saw like in the closing few minutes there where they just took the game, I mean, it worked really well. And the only other time we've seen James Harden with a closer anywhere close to what Kevin Durant is the year, you know, with Chris Paul, and they're the one game away from the finals. So, I mean, I think the game is about to be easier for James Harden, and obviously he's going to make it easier for everybody else. If Kyrie just comes in and plays like he did to start the season, which was extremely team-oriented, I mean, he was setting screens, he was playing defense, he was moving off the ball. If he comes and does that, I mean, you can't guard him, period.
Facts.
It is funny that him coming in team-oriented then follows with him just not coming to the team.
Right.
Well, yes,
right.
Yes. Okay. Team oriented right. Until then.
Right. But like, that is, I just, the irony of that is funny to me.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. You know.
Yeah. Just like at one point, you know, they're just running Harden and Durant pick and rolls. I'm like, oh my God. What the hell is going to, who's going to stop?
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The only thing, you know, this is where I hate that they don't still have Jared Allen, because Jared Allen would just be feasting on lobs.
Oh my God. Yeah, he'd be a monster there. And I guess maybe that makes the job of DeAndre Jordan easier.
You could always put Jeff Green at the five.
Stretch the
floor.
Well,
yeah, and then you got to reunite that Oklahoma City big three of KD, James Harden, and Jeff Green as many times on the court as you can.
Yeah, sign Kendrick Perkins. You know. Nick Collison can come out of retirement, right? Let's get the band back together. Kevin Ollie, still working?
Just suit up Roy Ivy. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, he's there, right?
Kyle Weaver, we can go down the line. Yeah, seriously, I think this is going to work, but we are going to have some diva moments. And the thing is that I really frowned upon was Sean Marks saying that they weren't going to like discipline Kyrie and let him explain to the media what's going on with him. So I can't wait till he returns and he's going to have a lot to say whatever he decides to make up in this particular situation, because I have no idea. No one in the organization, they're in contact with him, but no one in the organization actually knows what he was dealing with. So I'm interested to know what he's going to address us with.
Yeah.
As far as telling us like what's really going on. And it's either going to go two ways. One, where it's going to be something really tough and we're going to be like, damn, we feel bad. Or we're going to be like, he's lying like hell. You know what I mean? Like it's one of the two.
That's super interesting, because I do wonder at this point, because we've seen the conversation about when he's trying to do something that seems kind of magnanimous, right? Like in the summer, he's like, hey, should we be coming back? We got all this social stuff going on. And there's validity to that, right? But it's the messenger that we're like, I don't know about it coming from that guy, right? And so there's a, I don't want to say a lack of credibility, but there's a lack of credit that he has with a lot of people who discuss this stuff and a lot of people who discuss it privately, right? And so like not having that line of credit built up, so then like when he does come back and address the media, there is going to be a point where I think you naturally have to be skeptical of it, unless he's like bringing out receipts, which at that point was like, I don't know that he should have to do that at the same time, right? Like there's this weird dichotomy of him coming back, him explaining himself, if he truly does explain himself. I could also see him coming back and just saying like, you know what, I just want to move on. Like, James is here, let's play ball. Right? And then everyone yeah. being mad that he wouldn't explain
it. I tend to agree with that. I think the only people that need explanations, like, and I stress the word need, are his teammates and, you know, management. Outside of that, yeah. I don't know that the public actually needs to know the nitty gritty of what made Kyrie do what he did, right? Like, it's on the team to handle it how they want to, right? Like, whether they fine right. him or, you know, dock his pay for missing it. Who knows? It's on the team to figure out, you know, whether this was the right course of action for him to take or not. And if the team is cool with it and his teammates on the court are fine with it, then, you know, it kind of doesn't matter what we think or how we feel about it.
Right. We can get upset about it, yeah. but it doesn't ultimately matter. Is he going to play Monday? Is he going to play Monday against the against the Bucks?
I think he was listed as questionable.
Okay.
He's questionable, but he has to test negative.
Yeah.
And then once he clears, we should know by, like, I think 5 p.m. or something like that.
But okay.
I hope so, because I'm interested to just see how this looks. I mean, I still think they're going to give up a shitload of points.
Oh, man. Oh, the defense is going to be brutal, but it might not matter most nights.
Offensively, it's going to be fun, though.
Yeah, Kyrie's not going to come in and buoy the defense or anything.
Sometimes, you know.
But hopefully he gives some effort, though.
Gets a stop every once in a while, you know.
Get Joe Harris some help.
Joe Harris needs the help. Oh, my goodness.
So Joe Harris' average is going to go up. He's averaging about 14 points per game. He hit about almost, I think, 5 threes last game. Those looks, man.
Joe Harris gonna, I'm Joe Harris is going to shoot 70% but also from three.
Joe Harris also looks 43, and I didn't know he was 29.
He's 29?
He's 29, bro.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, Joe Harris is gonna go nuts here. You know, one of the oddest, you know, fallouts from this trade or any trade that we've ever seen was the Caris LeVert thing, right? And so he goes through the physical and getting to his new team, and we find out there's a mass on his kidney. And so he's out indefinitely as they test that and figure out what the next course of action is. But Waz, like, that's a real, like, life moment there that happens because it's not like these guys are getting physicals every day, right? Like, right. They're getting training and stuff like that, but you're not going to be like, you know what? We got to test your kidneys today. Let's just do an ultrasound or whatever that ends up being, right? Like, that's not a regular thing. And so depending on what this mass on his kidney is, could have saved his life. It could be nothing. We don't really know, but it's such a strange turn. And the fact that the Pacers didn't say, oh, he's got this thing on his kidney, trades off.
Right.
Because that could very well happen. I think that's the key there. It just says a lot.
They didn't 86 the deal because of it, which I think is very, you know, humane of them, right? to do.
Well, also a good sign for him, I'm assuming.
Right.
I would hope so. Yeah, right.
Let's be honest here, right? Like, this is still, it may be like the human part, but it's still a business.
Of course.
If it was something debilitating, it probably would have killed the trade.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. If we're being clear-eyed about it.
And Brooklyn added money to the trade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Going to, like $2.6 million.
Yeah, they added a couple in.
So they did make some changes. They did amend it, right? Like, but it's still a business.
Yeah, and you know,
I mean, but also on Kara's side, I was going to say on Kara's side too, it makes him feel wanted. You know what I'm saying? As far as ending up in Indy and long term, I think with the toxic relationships between Indy and Oladipo and Houston and James Harden, all parties kind of just socially agreed, like, let's just push this through because, you know, Oladipo still suited up and his wasn't probably as dark as Harden's last days in Houston. But, you know, it was time for a change. And, you know, I think once Caris is healthy and he can get back, he's going to be great and a shining light in Indiana because he's low maintenance. And he actually, you know, he was budding and playing really well in Brooklyn while KD was out and Kyrie was out. So he has potential to play some one, he plays some two. And I like the pairing with him and Brogdon.
You know, I like that you said low maintenance because I think that that's a part of this. Certainly having a guy of his caliber under contract for another season at a rate that's much lower than Oladipo, but who's producing at a similar level, that's a part of this. But also, we've seen Caris LeVert in the role he was in Brooklyn. Remember, this guy's been a starter. He's been, if not their best player, their second best player the last couple seasons. He goes to a bench role in Brooklyn, running second units, doing what he's done all year. And now he goes to Indiana where he might start, But now you know, hey, this guy is at least willing to accept a lesser role, or because of his experience running second units, now you have a guy that you can pair out there with Miles Turner in those non-Brogdon, non-Sabonis minutes and turn those bench lineups a little bit, you know, crank up the offense a little bit, whereas Oladipo wasn't doing that in Indy.
Yeah, he basically hasn't looked the same since the knee injury, so I can understand. And it's like, you know, a guy's carping about not wanting to be in a certain place, and so I can understand Indy comes out of this golden, right? Like a guy who, you know, he said the thing about I don't want to be there, then before the seat, then he came into camp, was like, no, it's great, I'm happy now. It's awesome, which we know is cap, it's not true.
He was reportedly asking, you know, other
don't
other,
forget
other
about asking other teammates.
Yeah, ask, I mean, yo, other players. Come sign me, come get me, like.
Please come get me well, out of
you know,
here.
It's funny, because I don't know why guys do this, because it's pretty obvious what he, like, he wants that max extension. The one that only Indiana could have given.
Yeah, no. That I don't think he's earned it.
And to not force a trade. Right. Well, but that's the thing. And so, like, he went from trying to force a trade to not trying to force a trade. And now he's traded, and so he's got the rest of the season. I mean, he's probably not extending with Houston.
He's not extending with Houston. No,
because Houston doesn't want to pick up that contract.
I don't want that money, no.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough scene for Oladipo.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell from the comments from Houston's side of it. They're like, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens.
And it's tough. You know, you feel bad for guys who come off of injuries and it costs them money, right? Like
But he's looked good this year physically, and he's played pretty well. So, you know, he might be able to rehabilitate his image a little bit.
And he is and one of the
it's not like
top
he has to finish
agents.
The season in Houston.
Yeah.
Well, right. But also, maybe Miami is like, hey, we like our team a little bit better if we add Oladipo this year, and maybe they go out and make a move or another team. You know, injuries, especially this year, are gonna happen, and with a guy of his caliber available on an expiring deal, unless Houston really really values him long term, which I don't think they do, he could be on the move again.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Miami is still going to play the Bradley Beal game, but that doesn't mean in the interim they can't be like, just bring in Vic as a rental, right? And see what happens, as long as you don't have to give up too much for him.
Right. Like, you don't want to give up Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Like, they might
not
be
trade machine.
Maybe Precious Achiuwa.
No, they would
trade Kyrie Irving for Bradley Beal.
I wouldn't do that either.
They love
Achiuwa. Wait, did you just say trade Kyrie Irving for Bradley Beal?
Yeah.
Oh. Second.
What? Okay, but why would Washington?
Yeah, why would I want Kyrie?
I don't know.
It's not like Kyrie's under contract for 6 years. Like, this dude just, I mean, he doesn't really have.
This dude just took two weeks off in the middle of the season for
Kyrie Irving's not a realistic trade asset.
Sean Marks made that sound really okay, too. Like, hey, basketball is no different than any other job when you need a break. And I was like, to take time off. And I was like, yo, get you a GM that supports you like Sean Marks, bro. Because if I hooped and I'm making, what is he making? 30-something this year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You got to be there, bro. Yeah. Like, birthday party or not, or whatever's going on, bro. You got
now
it.
Again. I asked this on Twitter. Do we? Do we know if his sister's becoming a boss? Because that is the precedent this season for attending a party.
That's right.
And I was supporting somebody who was bossing up.
Yeah, bossing up, man.
Hey, but KD was on the Zoom, bro, saying we praying for him. Man. And then that video came out. And he was dancing like Leo. I was like, shit. I said, man, there's some sick prayers going on right now, bro. Goodness. Like, I'm just saying, bro. I'm not even trying to be funny, because if it's serious, look, I hope Kyrie's okay overall, long term, mentally, physically, all that stuff. But if you got the team praying for you and you texting Karis and KD saying it's personal, and a video surface of you pop locking in a suit.
I mean, legally personal. You know, your sister, it's your birthday.
Fair. But in this era, bro, nothing's sacred, nothing secretive. You're gonna end up on the summer gym screen. Somebody's gonna post something, bro. It's nothing that no such thing as a no phone policy.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I don't know. I'm also kind of numb to it after what James Harden did to start training camp. I'm just like, yeah, right. Is that a sister
the
birthday
bar
party?
Was set so pretty freaking high.
Well, and you know, it's fine. I don't want to, like, I don't want to get
into. Are we
going to
leave George Hill out of this, Dave?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Why? I'm going to leave George Hill out of it. But look, I
George,
don't wanna, like,
George Hill was badass. He sounded like Karl Malone to me on that.
George Hill, those, there is validity to what he's saying. Like, yo, you're not going to tell me what to do, but like, you're supposed to be a leader, man. Like, come on.
Well, also, you guys have ostensibly agreed to do this, right? Like, that's the thing is this is not, and nobody feels bad for people making millions of dollars doing something they agreed to do. I'm sorry. I just refuse to. I can't. They all could have opted out.
Yeah, as long as they are following the protocol, like if they're following the protocol and shit happens, then I'm like, okay, no, I do feel bad for them. They thought they were put in a position of safety, blah, blah. But if you're out here going, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm an adult. I'm like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, cue Don Draper. That's what the money is for, right? Like, that's where we
and
are
you
with
could
that.
Retire. Like, if you want to just chill and social justice and do that full time, like, retire.
Well, no. He could take the year off. He could wait until, you know, there's a vaccine or whatever. His contract wouldn't move.
Right.
But you can do that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
By the way, was that real what I saw on the internet about Kareem getting vaccinated?
Yeah,
as Kareem a way for the NBA video? To promote Kareem vaccines,
is why
Kareem is Trojan horsing the whole like, all right, we about to vaccinate these fools type of situation. Is that what's happening, or am I being cynical here?
No, I think that's a big part of it.
That's why you saw Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Congress. I mean, look, there's not enough demand for the vaccine. First of all, like, so we need to get people to trust it and want to take it, right? Like. There are certainly rollout problems, but we need, like, right, we're now throwing them away. Yeah. This is part of why I think the NBA should just secure their own supply of vaccine and vaccinate all of their employees.
100%.
Because it wouldn't take anything from our national supply, and it would take like 25,000 people out of the general population of vaccine people who need a vaccine. And I can't think of anything more powerful. In particular, and you know, I'm not necessarily the one to talk about this, but I'll bring it up. The African American community in the United States doesn't really trust the government, in particular with medicine.
Facts.
Right? Like, let's try to rebuild some trust and use people that are trusted. I mean, listen, man,
but also,
like,
but
I don't want to put pressure on one guy.
Here?
But hold on. I'm saying I don't want to put pressure on one guy, but it would be extremely powerful. For LeBron James
to take
on
the
national
vaccine.
Television in the middle of Staples Center to take the vaccine.
Yo, Dave, that's almost up there with the sheriffs in the bubble.
Oh,
when they told him, wanted him to tell people to stop.
Can you imagine the clicks?
I don't want
to
watch
Alex Caruso is the one to administer the vaccine to LeBron James.
But we need to increase demand, right? Like, and I think that's a way to do it. So I liked seeing Kareem.
No, I hear you. I hear
today.
No.
Does the vaccine
love it
make
too.
Your hair grow?
I love it because Kareem is
a different vaccine.
I love it because Kareem, I think, is a beautiful ambassador for the game, right? Like, I love
for sure.
that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that it would be Kareem because of what he's meant to the game, both as a player and just like an example of a player who was, you know, and I hate to do this, but like more than an athlete, you know what I'm saying? Like, but Kareem actually was, right? Like, he actually became some sort of like public intellectual in his afterlife and all after player life. So I love that. I don't know. I'm kind of just wary of the idea of like giving the NBA and their players extra jobs. Now it's the job of the NBA to sell the vaccine to America? God damn, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's crazy to me. You know what I'm saying?
But, like, Waz, we had to sell, like, hey, shut this shit down to America through the NBA.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, right. What's one more step in this process?
Right. Facts. It's just, you know, I've just become wary of NBA being like, all right, we got to fix police brutality.
Too important. Too important to society. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just crazy to me.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get
it. But someone's got to do it, Dave, right?
We need something. And Barack Obama wasn't able to pull it off. So maybe LeBron James could.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man, I find it very hard
it sucks, you know, that we're in a position population that we have to even think that way.
That the general population is going to move because LeBron took a vaccine. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I would love to be wrong about that. I would love to be wrong. And yeah. And for LeBron and the rest of the guys, Chris Paul and, you know, KD and all the biggest players in our league, I would love to be wrong and for them to have that level of influence and be able to use their perch as, you know, prominent people in society to do good. I would love to be wrong with that, but I'm skeptical of their ability to do something like this as far as changing hearts and minds.
But also there's the people that in the NBA that might reject the vaccine, and now you've got a whole nother can of worms that you've opened up.
Yeah, that's going to be the tricky part, right? Is mm-hmm. getting everyone on board isn't going to happen, because you are going to have people say, no, I'm not taking that shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism.
Yeah. And so I also want to remind us of the lay of the land of this past week. The Houston Rockets Twitter account put out a flyer for Ladies Night on a January 20th home game, in which you get 4 tickets and 4 free drinks sponsored by Tito's Vodka. But by the way, you cannot get a Tito's Vodka with the drink voucher. Only beer and wine. But that's the lay of life. Like, we have a handful of teams saying, come on in. Come check out this team.
So here's the thing too, Zach. Because I am a member of the African-American community, I follow a bunch of people who have been to Houston and Atlanta all through the pandemic, and they never stopped. Like,
right.
The city of Houston never stopped. They never stopped being Houston. And so, like, if people are clubbing, partying, doing whatever the hell they want, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm you know, I do feel like sometimes people do get a little too triggered by people going out and living their lives on social, just generally doing shit. But in Houston, it's actually jarring to see, like, literally a club of 550 people packed in like sardines and not a mask in sight. Like, that's been happening since
April. What was the concert, Waz, the other night?
Oh, it was Bow Wow. It was Bow Wow and
Bow Wow.
Yeah,
risking your life to go see.
Where's Bow Wow on the... Like, where is he on the list?
Oh, man. Guys, oh, my God. Listen,
pretty low.
Don't be a super spreader for Bow Wow. Yeah. But for Ladies Night, don't be a casual. So, go see Christian Wood. Go see John Wall.
So, Zach, no, while I hear you, it's like in that city, they're doing that. So this is just an extension of what's already happening in Houston, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and at the same time, it's like there are people that want to go.
Look, man, we know the governor of that team.
They're not
passing up 1,000 tickets or whatever they're allowed to sell there.
Yeah, we know what time it is.
Yeah. did you guys see Bow Wow on the boat with the women? But it's like maybe a dinghy.
They were over the capacity. I thought it was going to sink like Gilligan's Island.
I saw that, man. I was like, because at first someone told me, oh, yeah, he's on a boat with all these women. I'm like, all right, come on, man. That's not a good example during COVID. And then I looked, I was like, shit, I could get that boat. That's not going to give me that much. Like, I could get that boat. It was such a small, like, little, almost a life preserver, like a life raft. That's the size of it. I'm like, all right, and now we're gonna go risk COVID to go watch him perform. I couldn't even name one song at this point.
Somebody else.
I know he had one with Snoop.
So here's the thing: like, it's funny, but a bigger artist is actually headlining. I can't remember who it was right now, but yes, Bow Wow did open, and yes, the club was packed for his performance.
But it's funnier, right? Yeah, it's funnier if it's Bow Wow.
All right.
It's like the insurrectionist.
Yo, the fact that you couldn't get Tito's with the Tito's sponsored drink special is just amazing.
It was like good for beer, wine, soda, or water. I'm like,
that's full strength broke boy right there.
Please don't go to that game.
No, but
that's minor league baseball.
Didn't Fertitta get a yacht recently? A boat?
What? $150 million boat. Yeah.
There
man.
You go. He's no
with
longer broke.
With money. With hopes.
Well, you know, what? There's money.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of money out there.
Yeah.
Not going to re-sign Victor Oladipo.
Right.
That's where that
I mean.
Right.
Now, that one, though.
That was never going to happen.
I mean, that's also not
the worst, right? Yeah, yeah.
All right, what else can we talk about here? The Los Angeles Lakers are
rolling,
sleepwalking to dominance. Which, as I'm writing the power rankings today, and they're up. Well, I guess when you're listening to this today, Monday, on the Athletic. The spoiler alert: Lakers are number one, and I'm writing. I'm like, I actually think the fact that they're dominant while sleepwalking makes that dominance even more dominant.
100%.
It's pretty impressive.
It's crazy. Like, what's going to happen when they turn it off? And they're the best defense in the league already.
That's what I was about to say, Zach. That's what's really impressed me the most, because I don't think they've sort of hit their gears, top gear offensively. And the whole season, we hadn't really seen them put the screws to people. And, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter, and I got a laugh out of it, because AD is already learning from LeBron, right? After the Memphis game, he complained about defensive intensity and lack of focus and lack of effort on the defensive end, and we got to pick it up and all of that. And I'm laughing. I'm like, bro, it's you. You're the one that's not playing like the super, the freaking, you know, death machine that you were against Miami. Like that defense they played in the first half of the last game of the finals was something I will never freaking forget. They were insane, right? And AD hadn't displayed that. But then, man, in the third quarter of that Pelicans game, we saw the Lakers turn up their defense to another notch, man. And I was like, wow, that's scary. You know, like when they are clicking on defense, they're just like nothing you're going to see.
No, it's a crazy also, move by AD to like do the complaining.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, and I just want to let you guys know, like, I'm really sick of like just the lack of direction this podcast has right now, and the hosting and like the leadership of the podcast. I just want to let you know, like, we need to kind of fine tune this thing and find our lane. Right,
who's going
to
do that?
Up. I don't know, man. You know what? I don't know. Someone got to step up. Hey, and we'll see.
Listen, LeBron is playing 32 minutes a night.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
That, I was going to say, Dave,
that's the thing.
MVP right now.
At 32 minutes a night.
And I never give LeBron credit. I never give LeBron credit, bro. MVP right now. I'm saying it right now. He my MVP right now.
Oh, he's going to sleepwalk to that too.
Yeah, and it's
I don't think I've ever seen his jumper like this.
Yeah, it's gotten better every single season. But the thing about this year is that the season is so strange. Like, there is no natural fit to the MVP. Like, of course there's Giannis, but it's like, is this crazy thing that, like, because his season last year was so historic, like, if he just is completely excellent this year, it's going to be seen as not that good. Because he literally had one of the 10 best seasons overall that anybody's ever had in the league. So, like, Giannis is kind of out of the conversation. The Nets are, their record-wise is so, like, up and down. KD's not getting there yet. Plus, now he has Harden and, theoretically, Kyrie that's going to be on the team. Steph, I think the Warriors, sorry, Warriors fans, I love you guys, but I think you guys suck and you're not going to be good this year. And it's going to, you know, Steph's going to play excellently, but it's not going to result in wins on the floor. So it's like, where is the MVP supposed to come from if not from LeBron, who's playing on the best team with the best record?
Or Jokic.
Was.
Or Luka.
Hold on, guys. I mean, Jokic, sure, averaging triple-double. Luka's been great. But I don't know if you guys saw, but Paul George said he's coming back with a vengeance. And the playoff struggles were fuel. So maybe
look,
that's
man,
where
I'm not going to pile on my man, playoff P, man. But
yeah, we'll wait.
Could
for
you imagine off with this with the chatter, man?
Could you imagine though if Paul George had put together an MVP season and then still struggled in the playoffs? He'd be the first MVP going into the playoffs being just hated on universally, right?
Man, it's crazy. You know what's so crazy, Dave? He's playing incredible. Like he is playing so well. I think he's shooting 51% on threes this year at volume, taking about 8 of them. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, he's killing. And, you know, I have an open text conversation with one of our friends in the media. I won't say her name because I don't want to out her as, a huge Laker homer. But she told me, she was like, I'm still worried about the Clipper matchup. Who's going to guard Paul George? So it's like, it's this funny thing. Like, if you just watch how he's playing, he's killing people. You know, but again, it's the Stugats thing. Do it in the playoffs. Then do it again in the finals. Then do it again next year.
Next year in the finals.
Like, he's looked better to me than Kawhi, like, as far as just, like, the way he's moving. I think Kawhi still looks a little bit slow, kind of like he did it in that playoff series against the Mavs. But Paul George is just, I mean, the way he's shooting the ball right now, and he's been fantastic. Like, he's been one of the 3 or 4 best shooters in the league for a while when you consider the diversity of the threes that he's shooting. But the way he's shooting right now, like, the confidence is just, it's off the charts for him.
Yeah, I mean,
and nobody cares.
Right, because it's the whole thing, right? Like, you have to show that you can do it in the playoffs. Like, it's just, that's it.
I think even if he did it in the playoffs, nobody still would care. It's just, he's just not likable anymore.
You know what the
bro.
Crazy like, thing Clippers is, though? Would tough, he's though. Played well
the Clippers
in the playoffs
would have to win
in his career.
The championship.
Like, it's not like he's done nothing
absolutely.
To stink up the joint in the playoffs. Like,
right. Well, that
it's
was
like pro. Really good was, that it's one the, series was, against, that last ago. Series against Cleveland that he was when he was on the Pacers. His last playoff series for the Pacers against Cleveland. Like, there were games where he was just as good as freaking LeBron. Right? Like, he's flashed that. And they, of course, they ultimately lost the series. But you know what I'm saying. There were games where he flashed that level of ability, man. Like, it's hard for me to let go of that. Like, I've seen Paul George be superhuman in the playoffs before. But, of course, you know, I've also seen him shoot the side of the backboard, which is just...
They got swept in that series. You're right. He was great. Actually, he wasn't Zach. Great. He shot 38% from the field, 42% from three. So 42% from three was great, but he couldn't hit it too.
In order for everybody to like PG, he just got to win the chip.
That's it. Yo,
NBA Finals MVP.
He's also got to get rid of them cornrows, though, if we're being real, man.
Nah, I'm with
him.
I like it. I think he should just try to talented Mr. Ripley Kawhi the whole time. I think that's what he should do.
Was, I think he'll be okay, honestly, if he didn't make so many excuses. Yeah. I think that's where... That was the last
straw. When he said, man, I came back from 2 shoulder injuries.
No, that was one thing, though. And then it was another thing. And then it's another thing. And now he's saying that he's having an MVP.
He's killing,
he's going
man.
Back to his MVP season. Yeah, it's like, you have to win an MVP you had an MVP season.
He has no awareness for what he says, right? And I guess he doesn't need to because look how much money he makes, right?
Like Paul George, man. I wish he didn't say things like he rooted for the Clippers his whole life, even though he's on tape saying that he was a Laker fan or... You know, it's weird that he calls himself an LA native when he's from Palmdale. Like, he does, You know what I'm saying? Like, he does weird stuff, but I like him, man.
Look, it doesn't help, but I do kind of like the idea of him just changing the story and just like, not allowing anyone to call him on it. Because he's changed his, like, why he got out of Indiana, like, four times. Which is amazing. And never addresses any of it, right? Like, it's never just like, oh, well, this is what I meant when I said. No, he's just like, yeah, we're going to change the story today. It's great. It's legitimately great. And I hope he doesn't stop this stuff because it's good content for us. But you're right. Like, I think I kind of look of it as if Giannis was hitting threes right now, right? Like, let's say he was just killing from 3-point range.
If Giannis was making free throws right now.
He went 1 for 10 the other night. Jeez. Yeah. But let's say Giannis is the same player as last year, but he's hitting threes now. Would everyone be going, oh, here we go? Or would it be, let's see it in the playoffs? Like, Giannis is almost in that territory of, like, we need to see it in the playoffs,
yeah,
right?
But we need to see you dominate. With the threes, he would be showing us something that we never seen from him before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the knocks, right? Like, that people are saying, it's like, Giannis, you need to show improvement. Like, either find an in-between game or three, but you need to add something to your repertoire in order to be as lethal as possible in the playoffs. So I think a three would impress the people, specifically the media. Like, you know, that's a ready built-in narrative. Like, he went in the offseason, he learned from his failures, and he built a three-point shot from scratch. Then he pulled himself up by the bootstraps and all of that shit, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah, I just think that there are certain guys that now it's got to be the playoffs. If you don't do it in the playoffs, then we're not going to care about the regular season anymore. And Paul George, I think, is in that zone. I think Giannis is sort of close to it, although I wouldn't say as bad as he's been, because he hasn't been a disaster, but he's been frustrating enough. But at the same time, people are still putting the majority of that on Mike Budenholzer, right? And his supporting cast. And so maybe Giannis is in that gray area for that stuff. But yeah, certain guys, even Chris Paul to a certain extent, right? He has a great season. And most of the time, until the Thunder days, like, it was like,
though?
So it doesn't matter.
I was going to say, I think that the season in Houston really kind of changed things for him, because he was so good. And then obviously being able to go to OKC and be so good.
Yeah.
The narrative on him has flipped, because now he's the guy who's should be past his prime, but still making all NBA, and we're appreciating Chris Paul now because he's off his own team.
Yeah, but Dave, at the same time, like, I think it helps that he just had the 1 year in OKC, because the honeymoon's always great.
Oh, right.
You know, like, that's always great. And so if he helps the Suns, I mean, not get the playoffs, they're going to make the playoffs, but if he helps the Suns, like, be a problem in the playoffs for opponents, and then he's around for 2 more years, even though he's getting up there. Mm-hmm. Like, if that thing starts to sour a little bit, I think we'll go back to the same Chris Paul stuff. Cause I just think it's the low hanging fruit with that conversation. Right. And that's the point about a lot of these guys, like Paul George right now, the low hanging fruit is like, well, playoff P. Mm-hmm. Because it's also valid, because he hasn't been good in a competitive series wise in the playoffs since
he was great against the Spurs in 2015. He was amazing. Both him and Blake Griffin, and Blake Griffin did get hurt.
I'm talking Paul George. I'm back to Paul George.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Chris Paul. Yeah, Paul George is tough.
Circle back. Yeah, that's tough. That's the thing, right? Like, he was great in like 2013 and 2014 and stuff, and then he got hurt, and then he was good in that series against LeBron, but they got swept, right? And then he has the disaster against the Jazz. He has the disaster, or at least he wasn't a disaster against Portland necessarily, but he has the big moment and dismisses the shot and everyone clowns on him. And then he has the thing last year. Like, it's just like he keeps finding ways to get in his own way with that stuff. And so until he does have the title or the redemption enough for us in the playoffs, like, then it's just always going to be, yeah, but playoff P. And it's kind of annoying, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm here for the jokes.
Yeah, I think Paul George is going to prove the haters wrong. And get it done this postseason.
Oh, they're going to win a title.
He's going to be the first person to prove the haters wrong ever.
Washed PG?
We'll find something.
Is it Washed Playoff something. P? Hashtag Washed Playoff P? Oh, man. Coming back, the redemption story. We have anything else? That's it.
Not a lot of games this past week.
Not a lot of games this week. That's the other thing. Like, you guys started talking to MVP. I was like, I don't know how to judge any of this shit.
Nope.
I wrote that in the power rankings. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to judge what happened this week. We had 20 games canceled.
Yeah, between that and then obviously this big trade. You know, right. Aside from what I know, the Lakers, I know the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know the Heat.
Trying to figure out everybody else. Get their shit together, man.
I know. Terrible. You know who's been fun is the Knicks. I don't know how much you guys have gotten a chance to watch them, but Julius Randle has just been, I mean, on another level.
They've been fun?
Yes.
What are we doing?
They're fun.
They're pretty good. I love you, but I'm not watching the Knicks for nobody.
Y'all should watch the Knicks. Julius Randle,
they just lost five straight.
Yeah, but they've still been fun. Julius Randle's been really good.
I enjoyed them beating the brakes off the Celtics today, but... They have not
Manuel
been
quickly
Elfrid
though.
Payton,
they have been quickly.
Elfrid Payton has not been great.
Okay, all right,
I'm glad Obi Toppin's back.
I didn't say they were
quickly,
most fun team in the league.
One of my favorite guards in outside of Kyrie in New York right now. Randle has been playing exceptionally well. I will give you that.
Contract year.
Fun is a stretch, my G. Like I don't know. And you know, 3 weeks ago they were on top of the world saying they were the best team in New York. Now,
well, they were wrong and Tibbs, about that.
And Tibbs said, and Tibbs is such a sicko. He says, you know, dang, I can't even think of the quote, man, about him being happy unless he's uncomfortable.
Oh, he says
he's
miserable unless. Oh man, there's something about
he's not happy. He's not happy until he's miserable.
Yeah, he's not happy until he's miserable. That's what it was.
Yeah, bro, he's a sicko. Tibbs be Tibbing. Happy birthday, Coach Tibbs, by the way. But yeah. Dave Dufour said New York Knicks basketball.
It's fun. I like Quickly. I like Randle. I like RJ Barrett too. Also, Mitchell Robinson's been really, really defending well. So yeah, Knicks are fun. Officially.
They literally just lost five in a row.
I don't care. You can be fun and bad. The Hornets are fun and bad.
A text message is coming through. Hornets are definitely fun.
I can't wait for Jay King to come back because I think he's ready to eat crow on LaMelo.
Exactly. Just and shout out to our brother Jay King. Our thoughts are with you, brother.
Yeah, shout
miss
out to
you.
Jay King.
Can't wait for you to come back.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.